that moistens the lips that lubricate our accursed utterances we cry. Distend our bellies with the meat of our prey. Let us exhale the fumes of our excess. For the bread is the story, and the drink is the sin. Their slippery marriage encourages us to speak. The story must be told. What then is gluttony without consequence? The animal fat that clings to our fingers stains the pages in the books of our lives. Remember Saint Vitula and the warning in her words. Meat is the progenitor of our waste, and our waste is the culmination of our ineptitude. May the words of the psalm instruct us. In the backyard, Curtis had a shed where he hung the meat he'd catch in the wilderness. Last summer, an implacable stench seeped out from the rotting wooden doors. Curiosity got the better of me, so I peeked inside. The neighborhood kids had snuck in. They sat cross-legged in the blood-stained dirt, ripping meat off the bone with their baby teeth and gums where baby teeth once lived. I called out to Curtis, and boy, if he didn't come running out of the house. He let himself into the shed and told me to beat it. No one saw the kids ever again. But I'll tell you what, Curtis's brother, the butcher, had some fine quality meats the next few weeks. I couldn't help but buy his prime cuts. Thank you for your words, true and fresh, like a babe born of a jackal. It's with gratitude I choke down the bile at the back of my tongue and replace it with words of thanks. Now grip the pew with dirty fingernails, clench thine buttocks and suck inward so our thanks might come from the pit of our sin. Declare ye, the story must be told.
The story must be told.
And now a reading from the book of the Seven Crooked Grins, The Disgusting Man, a letter from Dad Runner, Not Too Fast. Jagged edge of the cracked crab leg sliced the tip of my thumb, filling the wound with melted, salted butter. Ah! I screamed. I sucked on my thumb, mouth filling with my dull metallic blood. How it smarted! The hard shell of the crab's exoskeleton was smeared crimson with my life water. Vengeance overwhelmed me. I impulsively smashed the crab with my hand, cutting the heel of my fist. You fucker! I screamed. The restaurant went silent for a moment, and overweight guests in cheap Sunday clothes stared with hot judgment. More than a few forks dropped on plates in surprise. I flashed them a sneer. The crab was my business, not theirs! I saw the fear in their eyes when they saw my face. I scoffed to myself with pride. I felt in full command of the situation while my ears burned. I flagged down the waitress who approached me with extreme caution. "Yes, sir?" she asked, like a coward. "This crab!" I screamed. "It's too sharp! What sort of operation are you running?" I demanded violently. I apologize, sir. Would you like something else? You're goddamned right I want something else. Bring me a steak. Well done, and with ketchup. I don't want food poisoning in this rotten one-horse establishment. And if you think I'm paying for that crab after this outrageous and wholly preventable incident, then you have another thing coming. Yes, yes, sir. I'll put the order in now, she said, terrified. As she walked away, I grinned so hard my cheeks burned. If the steak had any imperfection, no matter how mild, I planned to express my outrage physically. I sat in silence and excitement, delighting in my fury, when a fat, boisterous laugh interrupted my joyous anger. The man's laugh was nauseating. I could hear food sloshing in his mouth as he spewed his obnoxious interjections. Between laughs, he caught his breath, heavy like wheezing bellows before a flame, followed by a gluck, gluck, gluck of wine. I snapped around to see this despicable excuse for a man and was further sickened. His gigantic head was shaped like a triangle, topped with a small tuft of hair on an otherwise bald head. His eyebrow hair extended in weird angles, bushy over his unsettlingly tiny eyes. He had a flat boxer's nose and lips like massive slugs, dripping with grease. He smacked his lips as he brought a dirty cloth napkin to his nose, which he blew like a tuba. Snot dribbled down his chin onto his shirt, where his buttons held on for dear life, struggling to hold in his massive belly. I hated him immediately. My stomach burned with rage. He laughed again, at nothing. His bloated hands grasped the scraps of an oversized T-bone steak, and he viciously gnawed on it like a pig. He dropped the bone after licking it clean and burped, then leaned over to violently expel a tremendous wet fart, which flapped through the restaurant like a greasy trombone. I could only imagine the stench. I sat up with a shot, firmly pressing my hands on the table. My chair flew back and tipped over, nor did I retrieve it. I marched to his table with conviction and stood before him with my arms flexed at my sides and hands and fists. I demand you show some manners. This isn't a pigsty, I nearly shouted, loud enough for the entire restaurant to hear. You disgusting, reprehensible dullard! You're infecting the restaurant with your inexcusable savagery! You're an animal! I looked around at the restaurant with glee. People were horrified. I expected them to look at me with pride, with gratitude that I deserved. But they returned nothing. So be it, I thought, and curse their cowardly hearts. The horrible man looked at me with hurt eyes. Clearly, I had dug straight into his soul with my savagery. His pain satisfied me, further encouraging me. Let's see how you like it, I screamed. I leaned over his overflowing plate of food, growled up phlegm in my throat, and spat. No, he gasped. He bent over his plate in disbelief, brought his hands to his face, and began weeping. Grease smeared on his cheeks and forehead as he cried. Let that be a lesson, I chastised. I locked step and returned to my seat. My steak was waiting for me, steaming with a charred aroma. I tucked my napkin into my collar, and I watched the man cry as I delighted. I carved out a chunk of the steak and politely stuck it in my mouth. The man wept with one hand on his face, the other rummaging in his coat pocket. He pulled out a wallet which looked comically tiny in his bloated hands as I chewed. The steak tasted like compressed dirt. My rage returned. Unacceptable! I screamed as the man paid for his dinner. Inexcusable! I shouted insanely. I lifted my plate and threw it towards the kitchen. It shattered in the food staging area as waiters ducked for cover. was all I could manage, driven to madness by the insulting food. I should burn this place to embers! I screamed at the staff and diners. I should burn it with each of you inside! I ripped my napkin from my collar and threw it on the table. As I seethed, I watched the horrible man leave the restaurant. Him! Another accomplice in my ruined evening. I was not finished with him. Shape up! I bellowed one last time. I stormed out of the restaurant behind the man. I kept a distance from the man as I followed him. He slowly weaved through the street, crying, stopping every so often to spit and blow his nose. I sneered with delight. Pride overwhelmed me as I watched him suffer. I followed him to a tiny bungalow where he greasily retrieved his keys and entered his house. He barely fit through the doorframe, he was so large. The door hit his tremendous ass as he pulled it behind him, and the door didn't shut all the way. Immediately I schemed. Yes, I devised a delightful plan. I would slaughter him like a pig. I'd never taken nor even considered ending a man's life. But what sort of human was this? I imagined him bumbling through his life, ruining people's evenings with a ravenous greed to stuff himself full, night after night, day after day. This would be my favor to humanity, a gift. And it was my responsibility. I crept to his front door and slid inside, quietly pulling the door shut behind me. His heavy feet clomped upstairs, shaking the chandelier in his shockingly well-kept home. The carpet had soft impressions from where a vacuum had run. Throw pillows neatly sat on beautiful couches, arranged perfectly. On an antique table sat a beautiful brass lamp. A single picture hung on the wall. It was of the man, although much skinnier. He had a pronounced jawline and neatly combed hair. I dare say he was shockingly handsome. And this further justified my conviction. Look at how he'd let himself go. What a sorry excuse for a man he had become. It was my right, no, my duty, to expel him from this sick planet. I took the lamp from the table and turned to the stairs. I crept slowly, my feet soundless on the spotless carpet. My heart thumped with excited anticipation as my hands wet the lamp with human sweat. I couldn't help but grin. This would be the perfect crime. Silently, I slunk through the hallway. I checked a guest bedroom enveloped in darkness. He was not there, nor was he in the bathroom. And there, at the end of the hallway, light shined through a keyhole. I crept towards it and peeked inside, but could see nothing. However, a wet gnawing sound faintly came through the door. Was he eating? Again? This was unimaginable. My conviction was at a fever pitch as I slowly turned the knob and snuck into the room, where I dropped on the floor in terror. The room was covered in newspapers, wet with a near-translucent goo. It stuck to my hands as I steadied myself on the ground. And in the corner was the man, completely naked with his back turned to me. A brown, indelible stain of shit marked his back right above his outrageously proportioned ass. But that was not the worst of it. Most terrifying is how he was gnawing on newspapers, turning them into a cud like a cow. He pulled the greasy pulp from his mouth and spread it like wet paper mache against a cocoon that hung from the ceiling, stuck to the wall. I dropped the lamp and it fell on the newspapers with a wet thud. He snapped around and my blood further chilled. He stared at me with compound eyes. Eyes like a bug's eyes. No, I gasped. His mouth had transformed into pincers like a beetle, and greasy antennae poked from the top of his head. He made a strange grinding sound like a cicada as he approached me. You! He shouted at me. You disgusting man! He screamed, buzzing. I'll leave. What is this? I stammered. You disrupted my final meal. You ruined my last supper before my transformation. I didn't mean to. I was overcome, I pleaded. He laughed his disgusting laugh.
It was my right to enjoy myself, to indulge in a final gastronomic catastrophe before this painful transition.
I'll leave, I pled.
I don't think so,
he sneered as he walked closer. I was frozen against the wall, sweating as he lifted me with superhuman strength. He brought me to his disgusting bug-like face.
You know what you've done? You sealed your fate,
he cackled.
The dinner, which you found so disgusting and my behavior so undisciplined, was to provide me the energy I need for my transformation, to become a butterfly. But now, no,
he paused, breathing heavily.
You will need to do.
He squeezed me, crushing me as he dragged me into the corner. He leaned back and screamed in agony as two bug-like arms ripped out of his back with a fair share of gore. He backed into the corner as his new arms pulled wet newspaper from the ground. He began wrapping us both in it, sealing us in his chrysalis. I took one final breath of air as he covered my face in our heads. I was sealed in darkness, pressed so tightly against him that I couldn't breathe.
You shall make a final feast indeed,
he whispered into my ear. A splitting pain shot through the top of my skull. His awful pincers bore into my forehead and made a sucking sound like a mosquito. He began draining the life out of me as I began to feel dumb and slowed. He slopped as he sucked, disgusting like in the restaurant. I felt nauseous as my body shivered in pain. I felt my organs deflate as he sucked them into his greedy body. My vision dimmed as I sunk in excruciating agony. He pulled his pincers out of the back of my neck and whispered,
"A final last meal indeed."
My body shriveled as I entered him. May God forgive me. May God forgive me my wrath. The story must be told.
This story must be told.
Spit as hard as you can on the fucking floor to leave your mark on the congregation. Hock one up and choke one out because Mrs. Peppergren's famous finger soup will be available for the congregation in the parking lot. One spoon per boy and two bowls per dad. Carry the light outside you and darken the stink within. Let us go and feast.
And that was the... Are you a fan of this podcast? Are you looking for a way to show your support, perhaps by covering your sweaty, drippy, sagging bod? Well, fresh, I got some good news for you. We got t-shirts for sale, and they're sharp. They come on black t-shirt material or gray, and they were made by our very own Reed Failer, who's me. I'm the one who's talking. I did it all, and you can make me proud of you when I see you in that shirt. Check out the links on Twitter and Instagram. We got them in our bios, or go to topedoco.com, search under podcasts, and last podcast on the left. The story must be told. Ooh, what a gooey one. We are proud to be hosted on the Last Podcast Network, lastpodcastnetwork.com. Lots of great shows on there. Check out our wonderful poetry on Twitter at TSMBTPod. We got some nice, classy photos over on Instagram at TSMBTPod. Rate and review us on iTunes and SoundCloud. Follow us, subscribe. Tell us in these minute ways how much of your heart loves me personally. And we'll catch you next week.
Thank you for your words, true and fresh, like a babe born of a jackal.
This story must be told.